vice is thrown out altogether,
all within the same vein. I don't want to call it rambling because it very much has a theme and very much has a purpose. And that theme, of course, being what we're going to be talking about this morning. Give me a quick second. Hey, while I'm doing this, go ahead and check your phones. They're nice and quiet. It says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, that are them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for your blessings this morning. Lord, that you would look after us. Lord, teach us. Open up our hearts and minds, Lord. Give us wisdom that we may behold your word. And Lord, give us the unction to take these things and put them into practice in our lives. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When we talk about our conversation, at least from the scriptural point of view, we're not talking about a literal conversation. We're talking about our manner of approach, our personality. Let the way we live, the way we talk, the way we purport ourselves, the face that we show to the world, let it be without covetousness, without wanting. Have you ever noticed that we here in America and many other countries, we're so blessed, we're allowed to want things. And not just that, but there are whole industries designed just to wanting things. And we take those things and we sell them to the stores, and the stores sell them to us. And then when they order too much or they have too much, or that particular version of Monopoly doesn't sell right, they'll kick it over to a bargain bin store. And the bargain bin store will have it for a while before inevitably it is either thrown out or donated away to be given away for free. And as it sits there ready to be donated away for free, still nobody wants it. What I'm talking about today is not stuff. It is about a desire within ourselves and the way we are constantly trying to satisfy that desire for something. Desiring something. One of the things that my pastor taught me is when you're preaching, never allow a long, uncomfortable silence. This morning I started with a long, uncomfortable silence. And some people can sit in uncomfortable silences, just settled, and they're comfortable. Some people can't. And the more we train our brains to desire stimulation, to desire something more, the more that we feed into that, the hungrier it gets. Let me have more experiences. Let me have more noise. Let me have more stuff. Let me have more, more, more. It is why we overeat. It is why we always have things playing in the background. It is why we're always trying to find new places to go and new things to see, because we desire what we don't have. Which isn't wrong unless it has completely taken over you. Unless covetousness is the reason why we desire it. What does it go on to say? And be content with such things as ye have. I met a young man one time. It was my boss's son. I don't know if it was a school work day or something like that. He wasn't in school, so she brought him into work. He was a good kid. You wouldn't know that he was there. Never had a problem with him. We enjoyed that. We often got lunch on days that he was there. So we were even more excited to see him there that day. But he was sitting over in the corner, and the kid had a laptop, a phone, and a gaming system in his hands. And I just said, that's a blessed kid. And he was a blessed kid. His grandparents were rich, gave that kid anything that he wanted. But he was a good kid. He was sitting there with the laptop watching a video on how to play a video game. On the handheld, he was playing the video game. In 1 year, he had an earbud. He was listening to music through the phone. Now, how many of you, that would give you a bit of a headache? Now, the sound was on the video game. The sound was on the video. And you could hear as loud as possible the music in the Bluetooth. And I'm just sitting there watching this miracle of modern science. And I look over him. I go, hey, buddy, are you able to focus on all this? He goes, as a matter of fact, I kind of have a hard time focusing if it's not like this. And I go, oh. Some people can't sit in silence. And it makes me wonder why. Some people cannot go without stirring up strife or finding out gossip or tickling those chemicals in the brain. And it makes you wonder why. Some people, they overstimulate themselves with food, experiences, vacations, this, that, or the other, constantly trying to scratch an itch. And I wonder, how come you never scratch it? It's because what you're trying to do is you're trying to fill a hole with things that are the wrong shape. We are not content with our lives, and many of us should be. And the reason why we are not content is because there is something amiss with our attitude towards what we already have. And folks, I again am not talking about stuff. But this lack of contentment is what drives us to stuff. It's what drives us to these experiences that are insane. It's what causes us to overstimulate our brain in any way we possibly can. Why? Because there is a lack of contentment within. We don't want to feel what we feel without having the extra stuff. We want to be stimulated in that way because we don't like the feeling of just sitting as it was. Why? Because somehow we lack contentment. We ought to be content. If I were to ask, hey, who here is satisfied with their life? Oh, probably in a polite company, we would say, yes, I am very happy person. But if we were to peel back the layers and go down into the heart of it, you find that a lot of people are not as happy, not as content, not as settled in their minds and in their hearts as they should be. Why? Because there's something not functioning right within. So what do? Man, we throw ourselves into the internet. All right, what new philosophy, what new idea, what new doctrine do I need that's going to make me happy again, that's going to make me feel good? I'll go to the pastor. Hey, pastor, I need special verses that are going to change the way my brain works. And hey, here's what I'll do. I'll go over and I'll give to everybody. I'll have all this excitement. I'll do all these things. Better yet, we'll fill our lives with activity. Oh, let's fill our lives with activity. That will fix it. Hey, I love activity. I love doing things. I love having stuff on the calendar. Oh, it's exciting. But folks, it shouldn't be there because we lack contentment. What should be the heart? What should be the driving force of our contentment? Well, this verse tells us very clearly. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The fact that we have Jesus Christ ought to settle us. The fact that we have Jesus Christ ought to make us glad. It ought to make us calm in our soul. But some of us, we've abused ourselves. We've abused our minds and we've looked to the things that the world has. And like David, we sit there and we say, why doth the heathen rage? And why do they get all this stuff? And why does it seem like they get away with everything? And we look over and we say, well, I want some of that. And many people, they fool themselves. Well, if I just put on a little bit of worldliness, maybe I'll be happy too. if I pick up a little bit of this, maybe if I, here's an idea, maybe if I put this brand new chemical in me, maybe if I put this brand new stimulant in me, maybe if I put that in me, maybe that'll make it right. There's nothing that you can put in your body that is going to fix your lack of contentment. You can hide from it. You can mask it. You can reduce the symptoms of it. But you cannot heal a lack of contentment. Christ must be the reason for our contentment. Oh, I saw this yesterday. I got a giggle. Somebody went out on one of the Facebook pages for Clio. And they said, hey, we want to give a shout out. I don't know exactly the phrase of it. But they wanted to thank one of the churches in that area for doing a trunk or treat. Because they didn't preach nor give the gospel at all. They just let the kids come have fun and eat candy. As workers of the Great Commission, what's our number one priority? The Great Commission. Why? Well, you see, brother, it's very important that the kids have a place to come and get candy. In October, that's not really a problem here in America. Okay? We have that opportunity to feed kids candy, load them up, sugar them up, dress them up. But we have that opportunity all over the place in this country. Not a problem. If you're coming onto this property, this is where the gospel is. You're going to see one. You're going to see the gospel. That should be our desire. Let's have activities. Oh, activities will fix the religious problems in this world. No, they don't. Down at Fly Rock this time of the year, there was a Lutheran church used to have Oktoberfest. Why? Well, people need the Lord. Now, when I say Oktoberfest, I don't mean a church version of Oktoberfest. I mean Oktoberfest. They had beer out and different kinds of beer and different rules for how much beer you could come and get. And people liked that too. You wonder why they liked that too? Because it was free stuff and no gospel was given. It's nice. And you know what? Those people, they showed up with a lack of content, desiring some alcohol stimulation. They got it and they left. And the next morning, the discontent is still there. You go out, you buy the brand new phone, right? Well, I've got the iPhone 72. It's got 97 gigabytes. Really? Is that a lot? Well, you know, at least 7 of that gigabytes is for RAM. Could I have 8 gigabytes of RAM of maybe not RAM, but of rhinoceros? That's what I want. I want 8 gigs of rhinoceros. Doesn't make it. But the new phone comes out. Hey, did you know? We sell it in blue. I saw that. You know, remember the big craze over those big cups, and people were just buying so many of them, and people were getting arrested for stealing them. Remember those Stanley cups? They came out with them again in pink and green, and people are losing their mind to get them in pink and green. Why? Because maybe the pink one will make me happy. What kind of person am I? Am I a green one or a pink one? What kind of motorcycle do I need? Do I need one of these really fast ones? Or do you need the old-fashioned Harley? Oh, which one's going to best make me content? You're going to be a discontented person with a green cup and a Harley. Why? Because at the core of you, you haven't fixed what's wrong. Well, maybe if I really knuckle down and I get rich. Man, there's a lot of discontented rich people. You ever notice that? I have worked with happier, when I was at work, I worked with happier people picking up trash on the lawn than I did the millionaires that owned the lawn. And you just sit there and you go, what's wrong with you? Like I was sitting there one day, just a guy was there, one of the owners, he was just griping and complaining, just miserable all day. If I did that, he'd fire me. It must be nice to be the guy that can afford to gripe and complain all day, not about the way things were going in the property, just, oh yeah, my shoes this, my car that, my wife this and that, all my kids, not even talking about work stuff. If I did that, I'd be fired. Must be nice to be that rich, to be able to just sit there and have nobody to fire you, you'd think he'd be content. Guess what? He was not. Doesn't matter what state you're in. As Paul says, I've learned to be rich, I've learned to be poor. But I've learned that no matter what state I'm in, to be content. That whatever it is that God has given me today, I know I can work with. That's what content is. That whatever it is that God has given to me, no matter what it is that I have done, no matter what my opportunities are, God can work good out of this. Oh, there's some terrible, terrible things going on. Some horrible things. Whatever it is, we must learn to be content with what we have instead of trying to bury our situation in meaningless things. I forgot to share this prayer request. Pray for the... And forgive me, I want to make sure I get the names right. But pray for Charlie and Paula's family. Paula's niece, Brandy, she found her son had passed away. 19, 20 years old, somewhere in there. Finally passed away. Pray for them. Hey, that's tough. And I say that with every bit of heartbreak I've ever felt. It's tough. But a brand new phone ain't going to make it better. Thousands of hours into a video game ain't going to help. A brand new cup, a brand new car, a brand new house, a brand new zip code, a brand new vacation, a brand new boat. These will not make life better. Oh, they're fun. Oh, they're neat. But they will not fix the lack of contentment. We all build, don't we? All we, hey, listen, I've got this. This doesn't go so well. Not quite happy with that. Oh, okay. We all do that, and that's important, right? Here's a tool. It doesn't do what I want it to do anymore. We're going to do this. I'm going to switch over to that, right? Just recently, I got a brand new phone. I went in. Hey, this doesn't work. And the guy goes, this does. And I go, thank you, sir. We do that all the time. Hey, listen, here's the tires on my car. They don't work anymore. And he goes, well, here's some nice ones. These ones are good for the winter. These ones are good for the summer. And you go, winter. All right, give me the winter ones. Right? There's nothing wrong in that. You go down, you're like, hey, listen, I need a cup to carry exactly 1 gallon of water around with. Here's a good one. I'll pick that one up. That's nice. Oh, I lost that one. That one's getting gamey. I left my coffee in it. Now it smells perpetually. There's nothing wrong in that. Hey, listen, the family and I, we've worked real hard. We've got some free time. We'd like a boat to enjoy. So we're going to get... There's nothing wrong in having things. Please, please, it's not about things. It is about scratching an itch in the heart with things that don't scratch. It is filling a hole in your heart with things that cannot fill anything. And more often than not, the things that we sacrifice everything for, the meaningless things that we give up real contentment for, they leave you more empty than when you started. They leave you in a bigger pickle than what happened at first. A man is sitting there married 20 plus years, and you know what? It's been 20 plus years, and they're used to each other, and they pass each other in the hallway, and they sleep together in the same bed, and everything's wonderful, but there's that secretary there at work, and oh, she listens to him. Oh, and she listens to his jokes, and she makes him feel young again. Listen, you need to put some contentment in your heart before you throw your whole life away. There was this lady, she bemoaned it. She goes, I got in with some friends, and they started talking bad about their husbands, and I was never unhappy in my marriage, but you know what, just to keep up with the conversation. And after a while, I started to notice all the little things that he would do, and then I would take those things, and I would go, and we would make fun of our husbands together. And after a while, Susie, she got divorced, and Elaine, she got divorced, and after a while, I got so fed up with these little things that my husband was doing, I got divorced. And she got on the internet to whine and cry and complain that nobody cares for her, nobody wants to go out on a date for her. She's got to pay all of her own bills now, and she's got to do all the stuff at the house now, and she's just upset that he won't even pick up the phone anymore. She's mad at him, or he's mad at her, and she doesn't understand why, and oh, the pain and sadness and sorrow she feels. You better put some contentment in your heart. You had contentment. You didn't know there was anything wrong until you started looking for something wrong so you could gossip with the gals, and now you got three ladies at coffee together, lonely, bitter, and angry. That didn't fix anything, did it? At least it didn't look like it did. Here's an idea. Here's what I'll do. I'll seek definitions for myself, right? I've got this quirk about my personality, that quirk about my personality. Oh, in the modern day, you can find hundreds of different things. You can call yourself, well, I'm a self-diagnosed this and a self-diagnosed that. Why don't you just go to the doctor? Why don't you? I asked somebody that one time. Well, I've got this, all self-diagnosed. I go, good for you. Why don't you go to the doctor? Actually find out if that's what's going on with you. Well, I don't need to. I don't trust this and I don't trust that. Brother Dennis talked about this morning. Dr. Google. Anybody here who's ever been snubbed by their doctor, that diagnosis and adios, you know what I mean? Doctor, my knee hurts. How old are you? Oh, yeah, that's going to hurt. Sometimes you got to look that stuff up, right, brother? Sometimes you've got to. I sit there, I told my doctor, oh, my knee really hurts. He goes, well, how much do you weigh? And that's the diagnosis. I've got a fat guy who keeps stepping on my knees. That's a diagnosis. Sometimes you've got to. Some people, they just want to. Oh, this makes me more interesting. This makes me more fascinating. Let me put this in my Instagram profile. Why? Because people will know that I'm hip, I'm trendy. I've got extra things about me. And you know what I've often found about those people that try to fill themselves with new diagnoses and new ideas about themselves and new definitions for themselves? They're just as empty as when they began, if not emptier. And I talk to folks. I'm not just sitting there being a Baptist preacher slamming on alternative lifestyles. I have talked to people. And they go, so how are you? Honestly, some days it's a little bit worse, some days it's a little bit better. But overall, I'm happy with what I did. What? I mean, some days it's a little worse. Well, sometimes I question myself. Oh. Okay. Wherein lies contentment? It is not in things. It is not in philosophies. It is not in self-stimulation of the mind. It is not in these things. I'll chase education. I'll chase experiences. I'll chase money. I'll chase... You're not going to find contentment over there. You can have contentment and those things, but those things won't bring you contentment. You following me? They will not bring you contentment. It's better to find contentment before you reach for those things. We try to fill holes. We try to scratch itches. We try to make ourselves feel better by acting like we're better than what we are. We lie to ourselves, we lie to the world around us. That person who's always reaching to pick up the check so they can feel good about themselves, if they're dying in debt, you're trying to make yourself content with being the good guy. I know somebody lives with their parents, doesn't pay a dime for their upkeep. They're in their mid to late 30s. They don't do anything around the house. They don't take care of themselves. They don't take showers. They don't do anything to care for themselves. Right? In their 30s, nothing to care for themselves. They go to work, and you know what they do? They take the money that they earn, and they'll go buy drinks at the bar. They'll go and they'll go into the dispensary and buy a little bit more for the gang. And they think, well, this makes me a good person. I'll cover my friend's light bill here or there. That makes me a good person. So, well, why do you need to feel like a good person? Because sometimes I don't feel good about myself. Why don't you feel good about yourself? Because there's no contentment. Well, look at your life. Of course, there is no contentment. It is out of joint with the will of God. Of course, there's no contentment. And so often I have heard from people who in one side of their mouth complain about the misery of their lives, then correct me from the other side of their mouth with, well, God doesn't help. I'm sorry, but the rest of this verse makes it clear to me. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That is contentment. What do I have in him that will never leave me nor forsake me? Number one, I have salvation. You understand? Salvation changes everything in life. Number one, I'm forgiven. There goes shame, regret, fear. There goes everything. Death, right? It takes the sting right out of death, doesn't it? Listen, Mr. Roland, it's not looking very good. We're thinking about 6 months. Well, number one, we'll see what God will do. Number two, even if you're right, okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like it here, right? I don't know if they've got Skyline Chili, and I don't know if they've got coffee up in heaven. My kids and my kids and my wife won't be there for a while, Lord willing. I don't want to leave. It'll be a bummer to leave. It'll be a heartbreak to leave. But you can't torture me with death the way it was before I was saved. Because I don't have any questions. Well, brother, do you know exactly what it's going to be like? No, but I don't have to question it. Once I get there, I'll see it. You don't got to draw me a map. You don't got to. I'm already sold on the idea. With what little the Bible has told us about heaven, you got me. I'm coming. Salvation changes everything. Well, what happens if this happens? I don't know, but I'm one of God's. He'll find something. Now, you got to be prudent. You got to be smart about things, you know. It's not all about jumping off of high places and waiting for the Lord to catch you. You have to be smart. You have to be wise. But at the same time, we don't have to worry. Well, what happens if this happens with the economy? I don't know. But God will find a way to protect his people. Well, what happens if it gets so bad food becomes scarcity? I might finally lose that weight I've been talking about. I don't know. But I know this, I belong to God. And if he wants me hungry, I'm hungry. And if he wants me fat, I'm fat. Whatever it is that God wants in my life, he will make to happen. And I might have to work harder, and I might have to suffer a little bit, and I might have to do more to make sure we got everything that we need, but God will provide the ability to do it. I've heard of some people, they've said this about the Lord's care for them. Hey, there was one day we had nothing, nothing in the fridge, nothing in the bank account, nothing in the cupboards. We had nothing. Somebody knocked on the door, we opened the door, there's piles of groceries sitting there. Sometimes that's how God answers. Sometimes God answers like this. There is no groceries out there. But the phone rings and it's that person you left a resume with 3 months ago calling and saying, hey, listen, we've got an opening. We'd like you to come in for an interview. Sometimes God does that too. God has many ways of taking care of it. Once the Lord saves you, there's nothing left to worry about. Oh, there's work, there's hard times, there's struggles, and yes, a whole lot of stress. But oh, the joy. Oh, the difference in having to do so without God. Overall, without the Lord, we are unsettled. We're reaching and grasping for anything that'll fill the void, anything that'll tickle the brain, anything that'll work. But once we have salvation, there is no more digging. At least there shouldn't be. Now, I'm going to answer this. This might not be you. Maybe it is. I don't know. But if you're saved and you're still reaching and grasping, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm not saved? Maybe. But it could also be that you've so conditioned your mind to reach and grasp for those things that it's become muscle memory. It's become a habit. And you know what you need to do? You need to do what the Bible says. You need to mortify the flesh. Yeah, but in my body, I really desire it. That's how your body works. Ooh, I want this particular thing, and I feel as though I'm going to die if I don't have that particular thing. Yeah, that's the old man. That's the old flesh. Kicking up, hey, if we spend money, we'll feel good. Hey, if I get on the internet and I argue with a stranger about things that don't matter, that'll make me feel superior. Let's do it. No. You have to have that conversation with yourself. We have it with children, don't we? Quit playing with that. Quit playing with that. Quit playing with that. And what do you end up having to do? No. Now put that into your situation. I really want this. How do you feel the fact that God says you can't have this, but you want to? How does it make you feel that you can't have that? We go, wait a minute, I'm having a toddler response to things. I've let the flesh get too strong. I'm having a toddler response. I'm 30 years old. I shouldn't be having a toddler response. Take a beat, just stop. When you are having those moments, when you are reaching for things you know you shouldn't, experiences or whatever, when you are just bombarding your mind with stimulation so that you don't sit in silence for a second and feel the lack of contentment, when you're doing that to yourself, stop and ask yourself, what would happen if I didn't? Well, I'd feel terrible. Almost terrible enough to throw yourself down in the middle of a grocery store and scream, mine, 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 mine. Because I've seen a lot of adults let their flesh get them to that point. And sometimes we joke about it. If I don't have my coffee, oh, it's going to be a bad morning. You need to not have coffee for a couple of mornings till you grow up. Well, if I don't get my donut at lunch, maybe you need to lay off the sugar for a little bit. If you've gotten to the point to where you're letting a toddler response come out of you because you can't have what you want, you need to take a break from it. You need to tell your body no for a while. So do you see that? You know, kids playing with their tablets. Beep, 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 beep. The parent takes it away. Ah! In the middle of a restaurant, you know. The lady lays the chicken tenders down in front of the child. Mom takes the device away. Ah! You know, maybe we take that away for a little while. This thing has gotten connected to your nervous system. We got to take it away. Right? We do the same thing with our vices, don't we? We've got to acknowledge that what we feel inside matches what younger people are going through, we need to cut ourselves off from it because there's a lack of contentment somehow. So we rein ourselves back. We mortify the flesh. We crucify the flesh. Oh, we cause it to temper tantrum. We cause it to fight and buck. You know what? If you're sitting there fighting the urge to do something and you're able to stand against it, you should be glad for yourself. You should be proud of yourself. You should be praying. You should be asking for God's help. And you should be thanking God for every inch of willpower you've got. But it ought to be part of yourself to every now and then stop. Oh, not like what we would call the bleeding Sadducees. There was a group around Jesus' time called the bleeding Sadducees. They were so much more holier than you that they would whip themselves in the back, often cutting themselves open to show their holiness. We are willing to suffer because we are so holy and contrite and so miserable in God's face. We're going to have you watch us beat ourselves in public. No, not like that. Instead, right now what I want to do to get out of trouble is lie. But I understand that that fear is not a Christian fear. I understand that desire is not a Christian or a Christ-like desire. So I'm going to tell the truth. Because God loves the truth. What I want to do is I want to find some external extra thing to resolve the problems that God is not resolving. And I want you to be really careful with that statement. You hear that statement? We get there. Well, yes, I read my Bible, and yes, I pray, but there's still a lack of contentment inside of me. So what I need is, no, you're saved. Everything you need, God gives you. If you don't have it, that means you've no longer gone to Him for it. And you've gotten yourself so conditioned and so used to seeking it from outside sources that you're providing cheaper fuel for your little dopamine kick and it's not satisfying you. Go back to what God has given you. Listen, if I die tomorrow, I have salvation. I ought to be content. If God doesn't put another dollar in my hand, if God doesn't put another morsel in my mouth, if God doesn't give me another day on earth, not another breath, He has given me enough. More than what I deserve. But you know what? I got another breath. I have another day. I don't know if I get the full day, but so far it's been going well. I don't know if I get another morsel, but to be honest with you, it's in the house. It's already there. If I can make it there, I can get it. You understand? God blesses us on top of it. So wherein are we looking for contentment? And the extra stimuli and the extra energy and the extra excitement. And the, maybe if I have more caffeine, maybe if I have more this, maybe if I have more that, maybe if I could prove to everybody that I'm not what I'm afraid I am, maybe then. And oh, there's another kicker too. Why do we have so much issues in our relationships? A lack of contentment. I need you to know that I'm a smart person. So I'm going to qualify and I'm going to dismiss some of the things that you say because I need you to know that I'm a smart person because deep down inside I fear that I'm what? Stupid. Kids, don't use that word. I need to argue with you because you need to know that I have a valuable point of view and that I am a valuable person. Why do we argue like that? Is it because we really believe that there's people out there banking on the fact that we don't mean anything? Or is it because we doubt our own value? If we know salvation the way we know salvation, if we rely on God in that the way that we're supposed to, we will know that we have more value than anyone could count on because God saved us. Yeah, but that doesn't count because I know I don't deserve it. Exactly. If God doesn't play by your rules, why should you? If God doesn't just care for the people of value, whatever that means, then why on earth should you? Instead, let us see, well, if God chose to save me, I don't need to worry about my value. And I don't need to look at others to try to determine theirs either. Oh, we would have peace in our relationships if we just had contentment with our salvation. So here's what we got to do. We got to lay off the cheap stuff. We got to lay off the rotten stuff. Right? Oh man, instead of relying on God and instead of trusting in God and instead of just being happy with the love of God, what I'll do is this, is I'll fill it with stuff, I'll fill it with experiences, I'll fill it with noise, I'll argue with everybody I can find, I'll get out there on the internet and prove myself intelligent, I'll do everything I can so I don't have to think about what I am. But in salvation, I don't have to worry about what I am anymore. I am neither a good guy nor a bad guy. I'm just a redeemed guy who needs to be really careful with his decision making. My salvation will never forsake me. Why? Because it's the Lord. Nor will his gifts, the knowledge, the wisdom, the strength, nor the comfort that he gives. Why? Because he never leaves. And he never changes. And he never gets sick of me. He never gets bored with me. He never sits there and gets irritated to the point to where he doesn't want to have anything to do with me anymore. How? I don't know. But because he'll never change, and he provides these things for me, knowledge, wisdom, comfort, those things that he gives to us, strength, because he gives us those things, we have those things. So you know what? I don't need the strength of society agreeing with me. I have it from God. I just need to use it. I want you to think for a second. I want you to think of the most particular kitchen appliance you have. I'm thinking. I know for their wedding shower, somebody gave Jada and Tyler a hot dog maker. Toasts the buns, heats the hot dogs. Anybody got something like that, like a breakfast sandwich maker or something like that? Think about the most ridiculous kitchen gadget you've got. Wasn't it exciting when you got it? Weren't you, oh, that's so cool, that's wonderful, it's going to change. Every morning I'm going to do that, it's going to change my life. Where is it? Some of you don't know where it is. I can tell. Many of you sit there going, no, I think I know where it is. You'll go home today, find out you gave it out 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. You sold it at a yard sale last year or something. Why? Why did you stop using it? Well, because it was fun, it was novel, it was interesting. But after a while, I realized it was just a whole lot easier to break out the pan and get it done. Oh. Well, I got sick and tired of breakfast sandwiches. I switched to a fruit cup. I don't know. We have better elements from God. We need to quit filling it with useless things. I don't need something that can make 7 different kinds of breakfast sandwiches. I've got a cast iron pot. Now I take that back. I've got one gadget. It probably does too much. It's that air fryer I got. I do not apologize for that. That is a fantastic thing. It was on sale too. Anyway. Well, why do you need that? Don't you have an oven? You're right, I have an oven. Why do I need the strength from people agreeing with me to where I compromise everything that I know is right or wrong so I can fit in with them when I already have the acceptance of God who's never wrong? Why do I need to change my attitude? Why do I need to be more surly? Why do I need to be filled with extra explanations and how to speak to me and what I am and this and that? Why would I need that when God already calls me son? Why seek comfort in bottles and experiences and one more of this and one more of that? I knew somebody. We just hired them in, worked with them for 2 weeks. They put in a vacation request. And I said, hey, listen, it's not my call. I don't think they're going to approve this. Why? Because you've only been here for 2 weeks. And they said, well, don't you understand? Taking a break is very important for your mental health. I go, you just started. Taking a break from what? They said, well, I'm taking it. If they want to fire me, they can fire me. And what the boss ended up saying is, if you don't show up, we're going to take that as a no-call, no-show, and you quit. So they quit. And they didn't go on the vacation, but they got another job, right? Wrong. They went on the vacation. And I go, I got an opportunity. I ran into them some other time. I go, so how'd that vacation go? Was it worth it? And they go, well, the vacation was amazing, but it took a really long time to find a job after that. We kind of got in trouble. We lost our apartment. It got kind of rough. And I go, oh. Sometimes what you don't need is another break. I've often said this, man, I've got a lot of stress. I've got a lot of things going on. Well, maybe you should take a break. In my perspective, yes, you absolutely need to take a break to maintain your health, maintain your mind. You absolutely need to. But sometimes, more importantly, you need to fix some of the more ridiculous problems, and that's going to make things easier, right? If I've got some things I can set in order and fix and repair, right? We talked about that in our Sunday school lesson on stress, right? Stress is the workload upon you. We need to work out the stuff that doesn't need to be there, get it off the table. We do things. We have good stewardship. We honor God in our actions. We're going to be more content. And we're going to need less of these cheaper elements. Hey, a vacation's fun. Go ahead and take one. Gadgets are fun. Go ahead and get them. Experiences, music. Hey, absolutely heard a brand new song that just came out last couple weeks. Completely enjoyed it. My little device in the kitchen said, hey, there's a new song out by this person. Would you like to hear it? I said, yes, I would. And it played it, and guess what? It was fantastic. Did nothing for my contentment, but it was fantastic. I hope I'm being clear on the stuff. It's fantastic. Did nothing for my contentment. If my contentment is based on my walk with God and my knowledge that he will never leave me nor forsake me and all the things that he supplies into my life, I'm using them, right? Instead of that breakfast maker that you don't use but you have. If you actually went to the cast iron skillet, you use the things God gave you. If you actually put the things that God gave you to use, you'd have contentment, right? If we're doing these things, we'll be okay. Therein lies contentment, to use the resources God has given us. There it is. Well, I feel as though I am. You're not. Like my mom used to tell us when we would come down the stairs after brushing our teeth. No, Mom, did you use your brush? Yeah. Bring it to me. Okay. It's dry as a bone. Get up there and brush your teeth. Okay. 5 minutes later, we didn't go back downstairs. We knew better. Bring us your toothbrush. Oh, okay. Did you use toothpaste? Yeah. It doesn't smell like toothpaste. Now, I'm pretty sure she was fibbing on that one, but we fell for it. Sit there, brush our teeth. All right, Mom, you got us. You got us. Sometimes when people tell me that they've tried the God thing, but it's not working, that's kind of what I think is going on. Did you really do it? How long did you do it? When you did it, did you surrender your sin? Did you repent of your sin? Did you do it consistently? Did you do it thoroughly? Or did you just sit there, you woke up one morning, you flopped the Bible out on the table, you got your markers out and your coffee, and you took a picture for your Instagram, and then you read a couple verses, and you're like, hey, this is good. You got just to the point to where the brain got tired, and you're like, hey, that's enough. You close it, and then you sat there at the end of the day going, man, I still went back to the baser elements. This God thing ain't working. Is that what you did? Because if that's what you did, you didn't do enough. To repent means to turn holy. We must turn to the things that God has given us in order for us to have contentment. He has given us watch care, strength, comfort, peace. He's given us our daily bread. He gives and gives and gives to us. Let us be content in our souls. And in that, let us be content. If you are sitting there flipping through your phone, scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, maybe you desire something that's not filling. Pull out your Bible. My Bible app? No. No. I tell you what, it's hard to read your Bible on the computer. It's hard to read your Bible on the phone because to me it seems just as I'm getting into it, ding. You're sitting there on the computer, my computer's hooked up to my phone. I'll be sitting there trying to study for something and ding, ding. You should back up your files. Battery getting low. Oh, yeah. And then you go over there and then, oh, I got an email, so I'm going to go over to my email. I'm going to check my email for a while. Let me tell you something. This bad boy right here. Ain't got no giga. It's not going to distract you with other distractions. The book of Hebrews is not going to pop in while you're in Genesis going, hey, it's been a while. And even so, you're not going to hurt yourself by venturing over there a little bit. Go ahead and indulge. You're going to spend 3 hours looking at TikTok anyway. Go ahead. Take some time in Hebrews. Maybe that's what we're really desiring. I can't sleep at night. Well, what do you do at night? Well, I'm just here, you know, I turn on the news, turn on this, turn on that. Ain't no blue light coming out of that. Ain't no distractions coming out of that. Yeah, I get bored. Right here. If we rely on His Word. Oh, I've got to find brand new ways of doing things because, you know, I see this person, they're doing that, and I see this person, they're doing that, and they react this way, and isn't it so funny how when I watch the old sitcoms, this is how they used to talk to each other. Did you know you're not supposed to act like the people on sitcoms? Did you know you're not supposed to act like the people on the television? Because a few generations into having the television, and I'm starting to wonder if we haven't lost the difference between reality and fiction. You can't act like that dad on the TV. You can't act like that wife on the television. That's not realistic. That doesn't work. Oh, it's funny when it's on the television, but when I say it, it's not funny. Because this is real life. But we develop an understanding of relationships from that. Here's an idea. What if we turn to God to look for His way of doing things? instead of the television husbands, what if we look to the Bible to how to be a husband? Instead of the television dads, what if we went to the Bible to how to be a dad? Instead of the television Christian or the television moralist or the television good guy, the movie good guy, let's see what the Bible says is how a person should behave. We rely on that. You know what you're going to find? Contentment. Contentment. And then, hey, the next time you get the gadget, it's just going to be a gadget. The next time you go on vacation, it's going to be a little bit more fulfilling and restful. The next time you get a promotion, the fact that you immediately go to rejoice in the Lord, you're going to be happier, you're going to be more able to do it, and you'll be more focused. Why? Because we've approached things from God's way. We've approached things with a God-like attitude. Then we have the things, and they're exciting. Then we can really enjoy them. Instead of them being just a distraction from what we're trying to get away from, it becomes something enjoyable. We must be content in His presence. We must be content in His presence. Right now, we stand in God's presence. Earlier this morning, you stood in God's presence. This morning, I had to go over to Brother Mike. This morning we came into the church and there was a lamp just sitting on the front porch. I don't know why. I keep trying to tell you people that there's weird stuff going on around here. It's not good stuff. It's not bad stuff. It's just weird stuff. Why would you put a lamp there? Where did the lamp come from? Questions I had. And I'm looking at it, and of course, the jobs I used to have, you didn't just pick things up with your hands. Too many pranksters out there, too many goofy, terrible people out there. Be like, well, what terrible do you think is going to happen? Oh, no. Just weird stuff happens. Man, these people that would just do stuff, they would leave things out there, they would fill things with disgusting things, leave it out there and film people picking it up, and ha, ha, ha. I don't touch anything left outside with my hands anymore. What is that? You know what I had to do? I had to go look at the camera to see when it showed up, to see how it got there. I've got more questions than I have answers, but it doesn't matter. The point is this. I wasn't there. I wasn't present. But you know who was? God was. God was present when I'm not here. God's present when I am there. God's present with me everywhere I go. God, I'm always in God's presence. I am never outside of His notice. So I should feel safe. I should feel safe. I should feel comfort. I should feel as though the watcher of all the world isn't just watching to bust my chops, but is watching to make sure I'm okay. And the things He provides for me are way better than overstimulating my brain, way better than trying to hide from quiet, way better for mine to hide from the thoughts inside my head. No, He's the one who wants to fix the thoughts inside my head so I'm not so agitated. He's the one who wants to calm me down. He was the one who wants to infuse me with peace. He's the one who wants to fill me with wisdom and knowledge so I have clarity of thought. He wants to fix that. You're present with me here, which is one thing. You've heard me speak for, I got to be done. He's present here. He's present in you. That's a different kind of present. You know what I'm saying, but you don't know what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm saying and what I'm thinking. And aren't you glad He loves you and cares for you? And He doesn't want you agitated, and He doesn't want you messed up, and He wants you calm, and He wants you peaceful, and He wants you good. Aren't you glad that that's His heart for you? So what then? Another trip to the restaurant? So what then? Another paint job on the house, the car, the shoes, I don't know. So what then? Another online argument? So what then? Another time and chance for you to sit there and try to elevate yourself because you feel so bad about yourself? No. Instead, Lord, what are Your ways? Lord, what do You want? And then I do them. And you know what you do after that? You reap the benefit. Tell you something that the preachers know, at least preachers should know. The reason why we tell you to stay away from stuff isn't for control. I'll be honest with you. I want you to be safe, but I'm not sitting at home worried. What are they watching on TV? Where are they right now? If they go over there, I'm going to have a personal fit. No, I just want you safe. I just want you safe. I want you happy. I want you content. Why? Because my master who presides over this flock, he wants you safe. He wants you happy. He wants you comfortable. And we need to realize that there are some things that we're doing to ourselves for the sake of comfort are only stirring us up worse. And only causing more issues in our lives. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Let us therefore be content. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful that your love and care for us goes beyond salvation. But that, Lord, you care for us even on the day to day. That, Father, you give us the ability to be content. And Lord, it's not even settling. What you've given to us is a better life than what we could draw for ourselves. Lord, our impulses will get us in trouble. Our desires, our tempers, Lord, these things wreak havoc in our lives. Spending money on things that don't satisfy. Spending time on things that don't satisfy. Giving parts of our, Lord, even our own integrity so that we can stimulate our minds. Lord, these things, they're terrible for us. But Lord, the things you have for us, they're good. Oh, Father, please help us to be content with what you've given us. Lord, help us to be happy with the still waters and the green pastures you lead us into. Lord, help us to be content in the safety that comes from the one who walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, this is who you are to us, and I pray that we seek no other, but Lord, relish in you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Page 160.